Well, it's good to be here for the conference. We've enjoyed every bit of it up to now. Well, I'm not going to say that either. I'm going to try to enjoy this. I have a lot to be thankful for in this world. Thankful for our church. Thankful for the people of Maranatha Baptist Church. They're really grateful and good to us and are concerned about us as their pastor. And they really appreciate that. Thankful for the way the Lord has blessed just a small church for membership. And God has blessed us with a building. It's not a new building, it's an old building, but it's in pretty good condition yet. And it belongs to the church already.
Amen.
I told him Sunday that God had done great things.
Amen.
We give God the glory.
Amen.
God, praise God.
Amen.
And I used some scripture in the service of Sunday about how that when God wanted the tabernacle built, why, he had some people that was willing to give.
That's right.
And they give till they said there was too much, don't bring any more.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't get that far along, but we went with peace.
Yeah.
Then when they wanted the temple built, why, they had a people that was willing to give.
Right.
God's people. That's how people has what they need today. And I believe in God's pleased for us to have something. Why, he's going to have a willing people.
Amen.
That is going to give.
Amen.
And those things will be taken care of. Thankful for the invitation to come and preach. Thankful for Mrs. Bixby to open the doors for us, that we might have a place to rest and relax at night. I'm thankful for all that has been done for us, the invitations to come and preach. I felt pretty sure yesterday all during the conference till Brother Gordon got up to preach and he got my message just about. Thought about Brother M.W. Hall and Brother Wilbur Johnson was preaching in some services back here several years ago, and there's both of them teaching on the church. Brother Johnson preaching first, and Brother Hall said he's getting my message. So the last day they changed it. Brother Hall wanted to go home. So they changed, and Brother Hall preached first that day, and he says, I've got Johnson today. So I didn't get to preach for Brother Gordon. He got my message pretty well. But we'll preach some of it again today. Turn with us to the book of Titus in the second chapter. Again, reading verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from all iniquity, purifying himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. These things I speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, that no man despise thee. We believe today that God has given us his word, and he's given us the church in this world, and I believe God's man has authority to preach the word of the Lord.
Amen.
A God-given authority.
Amen.
Go back to the first of this now. Some people, I've heard some preachers preach from the book of Jonah, that salvation is of the Lord. We want to I think that is our subject this morning. as salvation is of the Lord. Not just salvation of the soul, but the completeness of our salvation. So, in this first verse, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I believe God has a people, and I believe God is going to show mercy to those people.
Amen.
I believe that has had that in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And His people that He has chosen unto salvation, He's going to show mercy unto them. So, God has chosen us into salvation. We want to think about some scripture now in the book of Ephesians. In the first chapter, we want to read several verses here that I think goes along with this. Ephesians in the first chapter and in verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His good will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." So, God had a people in mind and chose us into salvation before the foundation of the world. Everything that He has done here has been according to His purpose, according to His will. Not according to our purpose, but according to His purpose and according to His will. Now also, we have a passage of Scripture over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, in the second chapter, about along this same line, and in verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Notice also in the book of Jude, there's a passage of Scripture in the book of Jude, the first verse, and notice how this reads here. "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." You know, it's wonderful today to know that God, before the foundation of the world, had chosen us in Jesus Christ, and He has sanctified the saints and set them apart, preserved them in Jesus, and in time has called. There's also here about this call now. We believe here that by God's grace, there that man, the grace has been revealed into man of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Grace has been revealed unto man. Then there is the call of God and the salvation. We want to go to the book of Romans now, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And notice here in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, I don't believe that anybody's going to have any salvation unless it's a call of God. And it's a call according to His purpose. God had purpose to save some people. God had some people. And God had in mind He's going to show mercy unto every one of them one day. And the passage of Scripture here in the book of Titus that we read a while ago, notice that how that it reads there. It said that for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I believe that means all classes of men, or kinds of men. Not all men, not all people. But those that God foreknew before the foundation of the world. And He, when the time came, He called them. Now, I don't believe it was an accident that there's a man came across the street in Owensboro where I live and began to talk to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe it was an accident that we went to service about the next week, and about the second time we went, he took us with him, or we went with him. I don't believe it was an accident that I was saved there one Sunday night. I don't believe it's an accident, when you think about characters in the Bible, I don't believe it's an accident that Jesus was sitting on Jacob's well. Amen. I don't believe it's an accident that the woman came there at that time. I don't believe it's an accident there when the eunuch was riding down through the desert, and there that Philip was there to come in contact with that man to tell him, that one about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that was an accident. God knew all about that.
Amen.
It was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world there that He was going to save. Now this call unto God wasn't according to our work. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us unto a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Not only that, but this was a heavenly calling. Let us go to the book of Hebrews, in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, and in verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, considering the apostles and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So this was a heavenly calling, and we became a partaker of that heavenly calling. And through this heavenly calling, we became a partaker of a divine nature that we did not have before. There was also something else about this calling. This calling was a powerful calling. Notice in 1 Thessalonians, how that it reads in 1 Thessalonians, in the first chapter, and in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, of your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance. Oh, what a wonderful, glorious message there is there in that.
Amen.
It did not come to us there any other way. For our gospel came not unto you in words only. If it did come to us in words, just in words only sometimes. But there's a man asked me the other day if I believed that all people that was called was going to be saved. And I said, yes, I believe all people that God calls is going to be saved.
Amen.
I believe God, all people that God calls is going to be saved. And so we want to think about also this calling. This was a calling from death into life.
John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he hears my word.
Believe on him hath everlasting life, shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So it's a calling from death unto life. Let's go to the book of Romans now in the 8th chapter again and notice here. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans and verse 28 again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And this is a passage of Scripture thought about there when you think about salvation is of the Lord. If there's ever a place in the Bible that teaches completely that salvation is of the Lord, I believe that these Scriptures does here in Romans 8, 28 down through 29 and 30.
Amen.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Amen.
And that man that asked me that question the other day, if he would really stop and think serious on this passage of Scripture. Now, it doesn't say that some of them that God called there, or some of them that God foreknew that he called, but he says, those that he foreknew, he called.
Amen.
Those that he had chosen unto salvation, he called. Those he called, he justified.
Amen.
He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he glorified them.
Amen.
So I don't believe there's one that God foreknew or had chosen unto salvation, but what he's going to call, and it's going to be an effectual call, it's going to be by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And they're
Amen.
Going to be saved.
Amen.
So this next verse of Scripture here, verse 30, moreover whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God was for us before the foundation of the world. He is for us in this life, and he's still for us and with us, and he's going to keep on being for us and with us and taking us home to glory one day. So what are we going to say to those things? What can we say to those things? How can we deny those things? Well, I know a lot of people today don't believe in the doctrine of grace, but that doesn't change the Bible. So then he called, then he also justified. Now, we're thankful today that it tells us here in the book of Titus, in this second chapter, in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And I believe today, if God hadn't have brought salvation, we wouldn't have had any salvation. There'd been any salvation for our men. We didn't take it to him. He brought it to us. And so, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, to all people there, all kinds of people, and through those that he had foreknown and chosen unto salvation. The grace of God does something else.
Yes, sir.
The grace of God teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this and godly in this present world. You know, there needs to be a change in the life of a person. I believe there is a change in the life of a person if he's really born of the Spirit of God. I believe there's a desire that comes in the life and the heart of a person when he's saved that he wants to serve the Lord.
He wants to serve the one that has died for him.
Amen.
He wants to serve the one that paid for his sins and the one that saved him. And he wants to be pleasing unto him. Now, we're not pleasing to him sometimes. We're not always pleasing to him as should be. But still there's the grace of God that is sufficient for us after we're saved, that we might serve him in the way that he would have us to. And all this day that we're living in today, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, oh, the horrible lust that there is in the world today. The way that people dress, the way that things are going on, the things that are happening, and the many that are falling into all kinds of traps today, preachers and everybody that can think about. But the grace of God teaches us that denying, we need to deny ourselves of those things. We need to be willing. And we need to realize that today that we have access to the throne of grace. And that Jesus Christ invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find help in the time of need. And that's the reason today that we fall into those traps sometimes, because we're not looking to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what brings about problems and trouble. But the grace of God teaches that we should live seriously in this world. Think seriously, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world now that we're living in. To be an influence to other people. Now, I was in a barber shop the other day, and there was a man in the barber shop, and he got to using some foul language, and then he got talking about how that he took his boat and went up the river on the weekend and taking all the booze and all of those things with him. And I listened about as long as I could stand it, and I approached him about salvation. He never would say he was saved, but he said, "I'm a member of a church." And he said, a good hope Methodist church. And I thought, well, the way it sounded, he didn't really have a very good hope. I don't believe he had a very good hope.
Amen.
Oh, today, there's many people today that their names are on church rolls.
That's right, brother.
And they're deceived. They're lost and in sin. And there's some people in this world that has their names on church rolls, that they're going about in a very sinful life today. They're not thinking about there that the grace of God teaches. The grace of God doesn't only teach, but the grace of God is sufficient for us to turn from those things.
Amen, brother.
And there's nothing that we fall into or we face in this world but what the grace of God, and God is able to lead us out of those things. And we see people sometimes that gets caught up in trouble and first one thing and another, and they talk about what a horrible problem that is and what a situation that is. And that yet they claim to be saved, and they act like they cannot get out of those problems. They can if they'll look to the Lord.
Amen.
There's nothing too great for God. Notice here now the next statement, and here it says, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. And we all talk about, we believe that Jesus is soon coming. Looking for that blessed hope. Notice back in the book of 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Amen.
Which is our hope.
Amen.
Notice over in the book of Colossians,
yes,
how that reads in Colossians, the first chapter, And in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Oh, today, we need to be thankful that God came to us in mercy, came to us in love,
amen,
came to us in power, came to us and blessed us with salvation. And today we can say that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope of glory. And if one doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no hope. Notice also in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter again, how that it reads. And here in the 8th chapter, in verse 24, but we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, I got to studying here a while back and got to notice some scripture here in 1 Peter. Notice this wonderful and glorious truth here. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 8, whom having not seen ye love. You know, I never thought what a wonderful and glorious thing that was for them. I thought about all the things that I can think about, but it never seen. And there, at that time, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Yet believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But believing, because of believing,
yes,
coming to know him,
yes,
him living within us.
Yes.
Today, that's glorious to think about.
Amen. Amen,
glorious to think about.
Amen.
I've never seen with a natural eye. But oh, he's made us to see spiritually.
Amen. Amen,
made us to see spiritually. Notice also in the book of Hebrews how that it speaks about this in chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews about the hope we have and what a blessed truth that it is. In Hebrews 6 chapter verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Notice now the next statement in the passage of scripture in the book of Titus, how that it reads in Titus the second chapter in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior,
amen,
Jesus Christ. I believe there at that time, whenever this takes place, I believe there's going to be a great fulfilling of the Word of God.
Amen.
Job speaks about it.
Yeah.
Speaks about it in the 14th chapter of the book of John. That this thing is going to happen. This is going to come to pass.
Amen.
And this is going to be the great fulfilling.
Amen, brother.
of those scriptures back through the Bible.
Amen.
Not only a fulfilling there, but a glorious manifestation of the power of God.
Amen.
Oh, to think about at that time there when Jesus Christ makes his appearing, and there many thousands and thousands of people is going to come forth.
Amen.
From the grave.
Amen.
With a glorified body.
Amen.
All because of the grace of God.
Amen.
At this appearing, there's going to be come forth a glorified body. And at this appearing, there's going to be a glorious change. Now notice, over in 1 Corinthians, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, how it reads, as those that come forth from the grave, behold, in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Something else that is going to take place there, happen there, besides the great change, there's going to be a glorious victory. Also in this same chapter, in verse 54, so when this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We've got something else going to take place there. There's going to be a glorious meeting. Let us go back here to the book of 1 Thessalonians, in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and notice how that it reads.
Amen, bro.
There's going to be one of the most glorious meetings that a person can think about there at that time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15 or verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
So there's going to be a glorious change. There's going to be a glorious meeting there when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Now notice something else here. There's going to be a glorious entrance. Notice here, back here in the book of Colossians, I believe it is, in the 3rd chapter of the book of Colossians, and notice how that it reads. Colossians 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear in glory with him.
Amen.
So when that time comes, that's what's going to happen, what's going to take place there, and this is going to be the finishing up of the salvation.
Amen.
Beginning. Amen. Back there in eternity, God knowing of people, choosing him for the salvation. Time come, he called them, he justified them, and he's going to glorify them. He's going to take them home to glory. And notice here also, because of God's grace that bringeth salvation, elected. Now let's think about this salvation from the beginning. Elected, called, predestinated, justified, glorified, prepared a place, called for us, taking us home to glory.
Amen.
If that's not salvation of the Lord, then what is?
That's right. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Oh, the love that drew salvation plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary.
Amen.
Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty.
Amen.